Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Blog Talk Radio, Human Rights Demand. You're listening to Native American Affairs, and this is the Strong Hearts Warrior Association. We are here to welcome Mr. Money, who is the host of this radio channel. This is Native American Affairs, the Strong Heart Warrior Association. Hello, Mr. Money. How are you?
Oh, it's fine having us back on again. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay.
Well, absolutely. This is your show, sir, and we look forward to you coming on the air every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I am so glad that even though stalkers removed all the other shows from our Human Rights Demand, all of our future broadcasts that I had set up to recur, they did not remove yours. And so we can just go right into today's program.
Thank you. Well, first of all, good afternoon and good morning to a majority of the listening audience. This is Chanup Agruha Money coming to you live again on Human Rights Demand. And I wanted to say, one thank you to every one of the listening audience that are taking time to tune in and get some educational experience on what's going to be conducted this afternoon in, you know, the discussion of how Native people are addressing issues. And again, you also can call in if you have any questions for Chanup Agruha Money and the Strong Heart Warrior Society. You can call us at 605-517-1547. And, you know, give us a call and let us know, man, how you feel about today's show and what's the important, you know, structures of how we are dealing with all these circumstances that are arising here in Indian Country, in our Native communities, as well as the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And so, to indicate on how we talked about the issues pertaining to white thinking, you know, the issues that were surrounded within that type of pronunciation, the conquest for independence is something that a majority of our people are constantly trying to utilize to regain, you know, their type of understanding, you know, evaluate themselves on what type of rights and statistics that they have that can be positive and effective so they can, you know, utilize that to its full capacity to assert their independence and sovereignty. And so a majority of our people, when they listen to this program, you know, based on last week's, you know, pronunciation of white think, the continuation of that, we need to understand and keep in mind that a lot of nations are feeling rejected due to the fact that a majority of our people are still being racially discriminated against any type of provision that they might administer at the hands of county, states, and the federal government. And so why does that type of criteria reoccur? Well, we always have to reflect on how America practice and perfected colonialism with that type of pronunciation to determine the credibility that everybody must think white. Well, that's not the case when it comes to indigenous people or any other ethnic, you know, minority of color. And once again, I do not mean to be disrespectful when I talk about these issues pertaining to who we are and where we're going. And where we're going is that 22nd century. And that doorway to our freedom. Now, freedom in this country that doesn't, you know, have the ability to accept that pronunciation from people of color, we always have to remember that if it wasn't for our ancestors, if it wasn't for the creation stories of the great mystery and Grandmother Earth and all these predicaments of life that gave us the ability to remain free, then we would be just like them. And that's according to how America administers its falsified provisions to stop and prevent the majority of people from achieving their freedom through independence and sovereignty. And so last week when we talked about that, I tried so hard and rapidly to give that type of pronunciation, that vocabulary, to get the listening audience to really see how racial discrimination and the disparities are still alive here within Indian country, also known as the state of South Dakota. And one of the things that I just now found out through the grapevine, through the Moccasin Telegraph, I found out that the federal lawsuit that our people were pursuing to have the whole state of South Dakota investigated on because of the racial, you know, discrepancies at the hands of this Eurocentric mindset of removing our children and placing our tribal members into the colonial prison camps outside our reservations. There was a timely infraction being implemented to the Seven Nations, the Seven Sister Bands within the state of South Dakota. And that was a compromisable dividend to allow us to try to assert our type of understanding where they were offering us our own pronunciations to implement a safeguard that would be exceptional in to white think. In other words, they wanted the indigenous people in the state of South Dakota to create their own departments of social services as outreach programs to reconnect these missing children that have been removed from homes and finally get them reunited with, you know, their family members. Well, I find that, you know, a very, very unhealthy discriminatory infraction because, again, every time Native people or any person of color moves to have a full-fledged investigation done at what's happening at the discretion of Eurocentric man, they want to offer small provisions thinking they can undermine the whole situation of why our children were being forcibly removed. Now, if we don't get mad and take this direct accountability into what we're dealing with here in 2014, then you can kiss all your children goodbye because the whole identity of our own traditional and custom upbringing, our kids are going to lack that basic pronunciation. And I'm not saying this to be disrespectful again. What I'm saying is our people need to wake up and counterattack this problem. Now, we have a majority, a vast majority of law enforcement people coming into the reservation. And again, you know, the newly established tribal president has been taking things on a falsified oath to try to alleviate the problem in a standing that the majority of the Lakota people that reside within the boundaries of the great Lakota nation, as America deems the great Sioux nation, they're lacking that ability to negotiate in good terms to protect our said children. So now it's been offered to the tribal governments. Well, the tribal governments, we all know since the course of history and when the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 was forced upon us without a full-fledged vote to accept that provision, they're taking the responsibility to determine if we can be in compliance to create these type of provisions that our people know they're a failure to the communities. And so I would reject that kind of proposal because, number one, every time we try to step up and go into the white man's country club, they cut off, you know, the entrance way for us to get in. And so we have to create our own country clubs to determine our credibility of how we're going to deal with them. And it's not to undermine the problem. It's to take the problem away from the Eurocentric behavior of that man. Colonized man does this to everyone. Okay, so when you have rules and regulations that are supposed to be in compliance to determine the return of our said children. None of that is suitable because it does not have the provision of our tribal families asserting that type of provision of their independence, let alone sovereignty. So if our families ain't speaking out on why we should be inconsistent of creating our own agency known as the Department of Social Services, that's inhuman, folks. Why should we be compatible in white, you know, America's behavior to determine that infraction? It's impossible. There is no way. We've tried them. We have a lot of programs on any said reservation within the state of South Dakota. We have OnTrack. We have what they call LOWO, L-O-W-O. This program is to reunite children with their family. But yet, they're part of the problem, too. And so our own tribal government, a couple of months back, they discontinued that charter from getting involved because there was something going on at their discretion. And a lot of the people that work in them agencies are depriving their families to, you know, reconnect with the said children that have been forcibly removed. And so let's really talk about how that issue is still alive. That's a whole pronunciation of ethnic cleansing. I've said this throughout the shows. The only way that we are ever going to achieve a better, successful, and healthy nation is we have to take it to the United Nations. We have to take it before the world courts. And remember, it was the Soviet Union, Russians, that filed a discrepancy clause against America for its involvement of genocidal, you know, mistreatment against First Nations people. And they were talking about not only the Lakotas, but every person of color. And when you read that human rights dialogue, it specifically spells out all the ethnic people at the top, going down to approximately 62 sheets that outline exactly what America has done to First Nations people and many other nations of color. And they were the only ones to make that footnote very, you know, extraordinary, so the world nations can use that as a template to understand exactly what this country is doing. And so this is what we need to talk about. I mean, I can't go back and tell my tribal members that. I can't go outside and say, hey, look, man, you need to take those shoes off and go over to that department store and start putting them and dress just like them in order for you to be successful. I cannot tell them that because it's not in their best interest to become like them. You see, this is a 500-and-something-odd-year fight that we've been fighting to try to resurrect our belief system in freedom so we can have independence by exercising our sovereignty. And this 515-year fight that all of us have undertook, not one of us of any colored nation in my country has turned white. You see, that's the real principalities of what's happening. Now, we can understand the educational formats that's been forced upon our throats, man, at their discretion through acts, pacts, and contracts of different, you know, executive orders and, you know, through that type of pronunciation to determine who we are. No white man in our own country can tell me how to be an Indian. No one. No white man can tell me that. No white man can tell an African man how he's supposed to be an African. Nah, it doesn't exist. He cannot tell the yellow man that he has to be yellow this way. Nah, we have our origin stories. We have our own education system. But it's never, ever given the God-given fact that our people of color are in any type of educational field to administer that chain of command. And so today, on human rights demand, at the discretion of the Strongheart Warrior Society, we're taking that challenge to enforce them on, you know, the discrepancies of law that is already in place. Now, through the course of history, when our people have been struggling, and let's talk about the treaties, for instance. You have the Treaty of 1851. Then you also have the Treaty of 1868. And throughout the course of our history, in a modern setting, there was a majority of our people that went to Geneva, Switzerland, to determine them infractions. And so many nations outside my waters, within my own country, had made enforceable dialogue and descriptions to give us diplomatic status on an independent notation, okay? When we were authorized by the international law, the United States, with, you know, making treaties, if you look at Article 6, the United States Constitution, Article 6 specifically spells out that every state must recognize the treaty's, you know, importance, which is the law. But above that, it also says that international law, through treaty mechanisms, have to be honored and accepted with its full intent. And so the Vienna Convention on Treaties in 1961 and in 1969 gives us the ability to exercise those provisions. And that is the problem here. If you have a majority of our people implementing these type of tools in modern history, you will see that the predicament, yes, I love hearing the dogs barking, because my message of good fortune is telling you that even the animals are saying, hey, what about us? Don't forget about us. You can hear them barking. So that tells me that my heart of administering this chain of reality goes to show you that the message is real. And animals speak out every time I make this pronunciation, whether it's bad or good. And so in a finding standard, we look at these opportunities to determine our credibility, to look at, you know, the issues that are happening in indigenous culture, indigenous, you know, ways of life, and the understandings that pertain to who we are as people of color. And so today I look back, and in a whole mindset of what we have to offer in the populated areas of indigenous think, I'm taking this opportunity to help our people reconnect with the value system of international law at the discretion of the world nations that support independence within Native communities. And we're talking about all red nations within the continent known as Turtle Island. And we deem it very contrary because it was given a falsified name in 1776 when they called it New England. And then that term was revamped to give it another name, which they created and called it America. States that were supposedly to be, you know, united into that colonial concept when in fact they even lied to them. And so now you have America, which people give, you know, great adherence to, the truthful identity to it, it has become one big Indian reservation with all these contaminations of executive orders and policies and procedures and every type of regulation that forbids you to pick up the independence, to exercise your sovereignty because you were born and bred with the concept of freedom. This is what America does in a colonial point of view. And so today we talk more of that because, again, when our children are still being removed from their families and our men and women are being removed from the nation and placed in these colonial prison camps, whether they're county, state, or federal, you will see that our listening audience is not taking up the fight and preventing a more circumstantial issue by protecting the God-given rights that Mother Earth and the great mystery has given to you as a human being. That is genocide. That is imperial warfare. That is the pronunciation of ethnic cleansing. And that's how you make a long story short. So today, as we open up, you know, the phone lines to take on some understanding, I'm going to give my host a chance to, you know, step up and give some important issues. And yes, if you have questions for us, give us a call here on Human Rights Demand. And then stress something. If you have something that's important in your heart that you feel that is necessary for you to share with Chinook Agruha Money and the Strong Heart Warrior Society, feel free to step up and, you know, give these type of credibilities. And to show you that my message is good, I'm going to ask my nephew, and now get this now, folks. Remember, at the open of this segment of this interview, I did say, I'm not doing this message out of disrespect. My nephew is of African descent, and I'm going to ask him to give a shout-out to the listening audience to show you exactly how my people and their people continue to hang on to that bond of freedom. Here's my nephew, Denzel.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Denzel Marable. I am of African-American descent. I'm here with Chinumpa, welcoming him to my home. As you know, he's a relative to me, basically, pretty much. You know, I have a lot of respect for him. He's a man of power, and I respect him dearly.
Ladies and gentlemen, see, this is what we're talking about. People of color share these common realities with one another. And Mary, if you're listening, I would like you to take over the show here. I'm going to get a shot of coffee, and we can open up more of this dialogue to get back into the basics of where we're going. So, Mary, back to you.
Hello, Mr. Money?
Yes.
Mr. Money, I just came back and checked the computer, and your sound had been turned off.
Whoa.
And I had no idea how long ago your sound was turned off. I've been away from the computer for a little while. So we're going to have to repeat this broadcast because I'm sure you covered very relevant facts, as you always do. We have been under increased Contempro surveillance, as I have announced to people. And it is just very unfortunate. Also, we're going to move very soon now. We're going to move the Human Rights Demand broadcast because it doesn't seem to be welcome on Block Talk Radio. I'll tell you that now.
Wow.
I recorded a show on Monday night with two psychologists and one international human rights director, and I cannot replay the broadcast for the show, which is Human Rights for Prisoners March. Every time I start to replay that show, instead my broadcast regarding concentration camps under Sisters to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill show from May 7th starts to play. Every time I try to play the broadcast for Monday night, I hear my own broadcast regarding the U.S. Supreme Court authorizing concentration camps for Americans under Section 1021 because they refuse to hear the appeal against that. And so that's what I hear when I try to play our broadcast for Monday night, when we were talking about the high rate of recidivism among released prisoners.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on, but also a friend wrote to me today, and she told me that she's unable to play beyond 5 minutes of our broadcast from Sunday night when we were simply discussing the Bible and spiritual matters on Mary
right.
Love's Justice prayer meeting. So these people have determined that they don't even want to hear from minorities in this country, and neither do they want us to be able to talk to each other.
Right.
They do
exactly.
not want us to be able to broadcast our concerns, and they do not want us to have freedom of expression. And since they own these internet companies, they're going to use their ownership of internet companies in order to suppress our free speech.
That's right.
So you have a moment to wrap up, and then I will go ahead and schedule you to come back and speak at another time.
Okay. What I wanted to say was that, you know, I really am most grateful with this opportunity to be on your show again. And whatever happens in the future where we need to be more or less non-cordial, then I'm all for it, because human rights demand has gave us the ability to exercise free speech independence in its full capacity.
Well, we don't intend for any of us to have free speech around here, Mr. Money. They don't want any of us to have freedom of expression. They want to be able to trample over Americans, whether we're Native American, whether we're white, whether we're black, whatever we are. They want to be able to suppress us at will. Just push a button and mess up our tapes. Just push a button and mess up our articles. They intend to exercise their control over our ability to communicate. That's what they play in.
Exactly.
And so we're going to address that, and more than likely we're going to have to address these issues in International Human Rights Court, because there's no sense in taking grievances to these corrupt, racist courts in America.
Exactly. That is the godforsaken truth. The world racist court is the way
truth,
of the demon.
And so